Welcome to the All Bodies Nutrition Podcast. I am your host, Delaney Agresta, and I am a weight-inclusive registered dietitian. I started this podcast to help people like you heal their relationship with their bodies and food. Each week, there is a new episode that talks about different topics surrounding eating disorder recovery, diet culture, weight inclusivity, and more. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the All Bodies Nutrition Podcast. This is your host, Eleni, and as always, I'm so grateful to have you here with me today. I am really excited for this episode because I have a lot of thoughts on last week's Weight Watchers / Oprah live stream. I am not sure how many people heard about it. I found out about it from Instagram. The creator, Katie Storino, she is like the CEO of Mega Babe, which is the brand that makes the thigh chafe stick, if that's how you say, where like it like prevents your thighs from rubbing together, and like a bunch of other really cool products. And she's also an advocate for encouraging brands to include more inclusive sizing, and she does like a lot of like try on hauls, and she has something called I forgot what it was called, but essentially she like recreates an outfit of a smaller sized person and like says like we're not comparing who wore it better, we're just showing that like all different types of bodies can wear similar things and it's just as cute. So anyways, she posted about it, and I will get into that more in the episode, but just a few housekeeping items. Number one, thank you guys so much for all of your concern and well wishes about Penelope. Thank God she is doing so much better. I'm so grateful for all of your kind words and just everything. Everyone has just been so great and understanding. And again, thank you guys for your patience the other week when I didn't have a new episode out for the podcast. Number two, I am thinking about starting a Substack. Now, I'm not sure if you guys know what that is. It's something that I've seen a lot of other people doing, but I just never really thought about doing one for myself. And that's kind of like how this podcast started, where I was following a lot of other people who had podcasts. And one day I was like, hey, why don't I just make a podcast? And here we are like 3 years later, which is kind of insane. So it's essentially, from what I understand, like a kind of blog type content. So it's long form content, and I'm kind of educating myself about it, but I think I am going to be launching one. And for now, all of the content is going to be free. I believe that there's a way to create like a paid subscription, but for now, everything will be free. And I'll let you guys know if that changes, but I just think it would be really cool to start doing long form content in that type of space. So I would love to hear your guys' thoughts, and I will for sure keep you guys updated. And number three, I am still accepting applications if you are interested in working with me one-on-one, whether it is related to eating disorder recovery, disordered eating recovery, or a weight neutral approach to improving your health. The application is always listed in the show notes, so go and check that out if you are interested in working with me. And now let's get into the episode. So if you heard my episode from a few weeks ago where I broke down the Ozempic special, the Oprah medication special, from a few weeks ago, you'll know that I was very critical of it. That it made me feel icky. It made me feel uncomfortable. I found that a lot of other people who were currently struggling with their relationship with food and their body felt very triggered by the episode. And just to summarize it, if you haven't listened to that episode, I would highly recommend you go and listen to that episode before you listen to this episode, just so you have a better understanding. So if I'm referring to things that I said or things that happened in that previous episode from that special, you'll follow along. But essentially, it was basically like an infomercial. That's very much so what it felt like. If you've ever seen, what is that diet where you buy the food and I don't remember what it was. I can't remember the name of what that specific diet was, but it essentially had like people showing before and after weight loss. They were promoting people to buy this product from them and saying how amazing and life-changing it was. And that's literally how that other special was. It had on a bunch of people who were taking the medication that were saying that this is the best thing since sliced bread. And they were so happy. They were showing before and after photos. They were talking about the number of pounds that they lost. They were talking about how happy they were that they were able to fit into like straight size clothing. And I just want to be clear, I am not demonizing those people. Those people were contacted by the Oprah team or whomever ran this special. And I totally get why someone would want to like be on TV and things like that. And so I am not negating their personal experience. I just think that especially when it comes to a very serious medication, I am not a fan of generalizing three people's experience towards the masses. And so when we, unrelated to this, but when we look at research in terms of like clinical efficacy of a medication or a diet intervention or whatever, you cannot generalize the results that a handful of people have noticed or experienced and say that this is how everyone is going to experience it, because that's kind of like the vibe that you get when you see these people, you see Oprah, you see these people have lost a significant amount of weight and they're saying it's so amazing. I totally understand how someone who is struggling with their body image and how they feel in their body and their relationship with food and movement and look at that and say, wow, this is going to cure everything. This is going to change my life. And the crazy part is that we don't have long-term studies for weight management for this medication. And I've said this a million times on this podcast. I've said it a million times on social media. One of my biggest issues with this medication is that we don't know what the long-term effects are on the gastrointestinal system, on blood sugar management. And I've laid out all of those reasons. Number one, we know that it slows down digestion. We have seen people have horrible side effects of diarrhea, vomiting, loose stool, horrible stomach pains, stomach cramping, things like that. People ended up in the hospital with like essentially like food that has been in their stomach for such a long time because it's kind of disrupting their normal gastrointestinal function. So that's definitely something that I think a lot of people don't take into account. And I don't think that everyone is necessarily told these potential side effects, because they could be negative in the sense that it might have long-term consequences. Again, we don't know, because all the long-term studies that look at this medication isn't for weight management, but it's for blood sugar management for patients with type 2 diabetes. And so that's another point of contention, is that if you do not have type 2 diabetes, if your blood sugars are normal, will this medication have a long-term impact on how your body functions? So let's say you go on this medication and then your body gets used to maintaining your blood sugar levels with the help of this medication once you go off of it, if you go off of it, which many people don't want to stay on this medication for the rest of their lives. What happens then? Does that impact their body's ability to go back to how it was before and managing blood sugars that way? You know, we're not really sure. So these are just a couple of concerns. And I just find that just like with weight loss surgery, a lot of people are not really told the negative aspects, the negative side effects that you can have from these medications that honestly can potentially have long-term consequences. So I think that's definitely one of my points of contention with that special is that it blasted this medication to an even wider audience. And I guarantee you sales for this medication must have skyrocketed after that TV special last month. And you guys know how I feel about that. So I think that's really important to kind of just, you know, set the tone for that. So going into seeing this, I saw that Katie Storino on Instagram posted that she was going to be a guest on this Oprah live stream with Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers, I think, paid for it, for this live stream, which, again, I think is kind of weird and kind of bizarre, and I'm not sure. I'll give you my thoughts as we go on. But if you weren't aware, Sima, who is, I believe, the current CEO of Weight Watchers, is like, she's relatively new in this position. And Katie Storino on Instagram posted how she thought that Sima was going to apologize to people who were on Weight Watchers previously and were basically told that they failed and that there was something wrong with them and that they didn't have the willpower to maintain the diet, and how messed up psychologically a lot of people are because of Weight Watchers and their marketing and their programs. And so on that original special that was on ABC, it sounded like Sima was going to apologize, but she like didn't. And again, I'm not saying that this is Sima's personal responsibility, but I will say she has really stepped it up in terms of the narrative and the language that she was using. And I caught a couple of things that she said that I just found very interesting. So I'll share that with you guys. But Katie, after the Weight Watcher special, went on Instagram and was like, you know, I really thought that she was going to apologize to all the people that got, you know, screwed over and messed up mentally from Weight Watchers, and she didn't. And then Sima came back, and I guess she saw Katie's post or Instagram story, whatever it was, and she apologized. And it was like a huge deal. For her as CEO of this company, saying that, like, we as a company have to take responsibility for the damage that we did. And that was really powerful, and it really meant a lot to me, and I know a lot of you guys on Instagram, because we talked about it and I posted about it, and it was just really, like, revolutionary, because if you grew up in the 90s, like, Weight Watchers was everywhere. I mean, I remember doing Weight Watchers from like 9 or 10 years old. Back then, we didn't have apps, we didn't have cell phones, but we had this like pocket guide that like told you how many points things was, and like based on certain things, it told, like, you like moved the paper through this little folder thing, and it like said, oh, how many grams of fiber, how many grams of this, and then it would tell you how many points like the food was, so that you can like bring it on the go. And again, yes, I did say I was like 9 or 10 years old when I first started this, because my family was doing Weight Watchers. I was a fat kid, and apparently that was like the worst thing that I could ever be in this world. So I had to, you know, start worrying about my weight status as a child, which is insane, cocoa, cuckoo bananas. But I was joined to Weight Watchers, I think I was 13. I think I was in 12 or 13. I was in seventh grade. And I remember going to meetings, and it was like a hellhole. It was like honestly one of the worst things you could imagine as a child who already felt poorly about themselves and felt very uncomfortable in their body, to stand in front of a group of other women who were there and the people who ran the meetings and got on a scale to weigh themselves every week. And then based on like if you were the same, if you lost weight, if you gained weight, like people would like congratulate you or clap for you. It was like it was disgusting. Like when I think about it now and I think like I could not imagine doing that. I don't have kids, but I definitely could not imagine putting any other human being through that. It was just disgusting. And then you sat around and people, it was just like not, first of all, not okay for a kid to do that. And I don't think it was okay for anyone to do that. And so to hear this new CEO kind of like take responsibility and say like, wow, we like messed up, because the idea that they were trying to put forth in that previous Oprah special was that someone's weight is not their fault, which is true. Your weight is mostly out of your control. But the issue that I have with using that message, especially in that previous special, was that they're saying your weight isn't your fault, but they're still saying that that means that there's something wrong with you and that you need medication to fix that. And that is what my issue is. I am not saying that whatever weight status you are, whether or not you are quote unquote healthy, that depends on so many different factors, and that depends on you and what does healthy mean for you specifically as an individual human being based on your experiences and things like that. But I'm just saying, like, I think this idea of having to fix ourselves and saying, okay, well, your weight isn't your fault, but now there's this medication that can quote unquote fix you. And I just don't like that narrative. I don't think that it's helpful. And I think that it's essentially the same thing as putting someone on a calorie restricted diet and telling them that this is going to fix them. Because one of the things that I often argue with people on social media about in terms of this situation is that if you are still living this idea that your body is the problem, it takes away your ability to make decisions for yourself, right? So if you're saying like, oh, I'm just going to go on this, and I'm not saying you specifically, I'm just saying if a person says like, okay, well, I guess there's something wrong with me because I am quote unquote overweight or obese based on a measure that was never intended to assess someone's health status, which is BMI. You're basically saying that you can't make decisions like that, that you shouldn't be able to make decisions for yourself. So one of my arguments that I have with people is that, okay, going on this medication, okay, let's take that out of the equation. What are you doing right now to support your health physically and mentally? How much water are you drinking? How many hours of sleep are you getting? How are you managing stress? How frequently are you engaging in intentional movement? How frequently are you nourishing your body? Are you taking in enough nutrients? Are you taking in enough energy? All these things. And oftentimes, there's something missing from the puzzle. There's a missing piece from the puzzle from the get-go, right? Regardless of what it is. And I'm not saying that because someone isn't maybe doing all of those things, that that directly means that they are someone who is living in a larger body. I'm just saying that in these instances, for these individuals, what sets them apart differently from someone who lives in a smaller body? Right? It's crazy to kind of say, well, oh, well, that person over there is technically within a quote-unquote normal BMI. So even though they're not taking care of themselves physically and mentally, that's okay because their BMI is normal. Like that just sounds so silly. So if you're going on this medication without recognizing like, hey, like there are other things that I maybe should be doing and focusing my energy on to help myself start to kind of prioritize my mental health and my physical health, I just think that that is something that kind of mindset shift is being taken away from people because they're being told that there's something wrong with their bodies to begin with. When I would argue that anyone who doesn't prioritize those things, regardless of the size of their body, is in a position that maybe can try and change some things, if that makes sense. So on this live stream special that was last week, I will say they really curated the live stream very well. They must have hired people to kind of figure this out, to kind of take away the intentional weight loss aspect of the conversation, because really the medication was not really talked about as much as it was on the original ABC specials. So I will say, on one hand, I appreciate that they did that. But on the other hand, I think it sends a confusing message, because then why are we talking about this medication? If we're talking about eradicating diet culture and taking away the power that the scale has, or the number on the size of someone's genes has on someone, how can we be talking about a medication that people are taking to intentionally lose weight? I just don't see how that makes sense. And as someone who is obviously thinking about this from a very critical standpoint, not just like for personal reasons, but just professional reasons, like how I kind of look at anything in terms of evaluating whether or not it makes sense, this just didn't make sense to me. Like, I don't see what Weight Watchers has to do with this. Like, if Oprah just wanted to have a special where she's like, you know what, diet culture sucks and we need to like get rid of it, and we need to show people that like it's okay to exist in different size, different type bodies, that's a different conversation. But because it was hosted by Weight Watchers, and now we know that they're promoting people to use their program and then have doctors on hand that can prescribe this medication, it's just a little confusing to me. I think it sent a very confusing message. So they had on a bunch of different influencers, like famous people. They had on the CEO of the previous CEO of It Cosmetics, and she talked about how she wrote a book, which sounds interesting, where she kind of recognized, like, I don't need to wait until I lose weight or get to a certain size to like start living my life. I could do it now. And she talked about how when she was starting off It Cosmetics, that she had an investor that was very interested. But when he met with her, he was like, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing this, he was just like, I don't think like people are going to want to buy makeup products from someone who looks like you. Which was like, ew, disgusting. And like, thank God she didn't listen to that loser, because she ended up like selling her company, and it's like a $1 billion company and everything. And he like came back years later and was like, wow, like I was wrong about you. But I appreciated that she had this message of saying, like, I'm this like amazing CEO who built this huge company from nothing. And like, the what my body looks like or the size of my body doesn't have anything to do with that success. And the fact that it does have an impact, because how messed up society is messed up. And so she talked about her book. We had on Katie Storino, who is the CEO and founder of Mega Babe, which is like a women's company who they make this like thigh rescue, I think it's called, where like it's like this stick thing, like a deodorant type stick that you can put in between your legs so that your thighs don't like rub together and cause irritation. And she has a bunch of other products, and she also does a lot of work for promoting brands to like be more inclusive with their sizing, and she does a lot of really cool stuff on social media. So I really highly recommend you give her a follow. She's really cool. But she came on, she talked about like, she repeated essentially like this idea of like not needing to lose weight, or like waiting until you reach a certain size to like start living your life. Like, you can do it now. You can move your body now. You can travel now, and all these things. And so they had her on, and then they had Seema on, who is the current CEO of Weight Watchers. And they kind of had that exchange about what I was saying before in terms of Weight Watchers taking somewhat responsibility. And the crazy part is that Seema herself lost a certain amount of weight on Weight Watchers. And she says that. But then on the other hand, she talks about how her mother is a registered dietitian. And she was like, you know, not everyone has access to someone who can guide you in terms of like eating balanced and quote unquote healthy and things like that. So that's where Weight Watchers comes in, and we can help people do that. But I'm like, okay, but if your mom was a dietitian and you're saying that she provided this opportunity for you to learn these things, then where does Weight Watchers come in for you? Right? So it just kind of reaffirms the fact that like your body's going to do its own thing. And obviously if you intentionally lower the amount that you're eating, you're most likely going to see some sort of change in terms of your weight. And that's where her weight loss came from, not because she knew everything, because her mom was a dietitian. So I think it was a way of like plugging Weight Watchers, which again, not a fan. And so we had on Seema, we had on Busy Phillips, who I think she's like a talk show host / comedian. And I believe she was taking the medication or did take the medication. And she kind of just was on there talking about how ridiculous people are in terms of obsessing and talking about women's bodies and things like that. And she was like promoting the same message of us distancing ourselves away from focusing on losing weight intentionally or commenting on other people's bodies and how messed up society is. But she herself has taken the medication. So again, it kind of sends like a mixed signal, which I'm not surprised, right? We're seeing this live stream with Oprah hosted by Weight Watchers. So I wasn't surprised about that. And I appreciated what she was saying, but I just think it kind of is a conflicting message to share. And then we had on, I believe she's a sociologist with one of the fancy universities, and she talked about the statistics of how people perceive individuals who live in larger size bodies and how women in particular are impacted by people's judgments more so in the workforce than men, meaning that like people don't give a crap if a man is overweight or obese. Like it doesn't impact like whether he's hired or how much he's paid or anything like that, but for women it does. And she had written, I believe, a piece for the New York Times about Oprah in terms of, I guess, like the scrutiny that she faced throughout her lifetime in terms of her body. And so that was definitely a really powerful segment. And I think, you know, I myself, I'm aware of those statistics and how it does impact women the most in terms of people's judgment of women's bodies and their ability to like do a good job and like hire them. But I don't think a lot of other people necessarily may be aware of that. So I appreciated that they had her on and gave her a platform to speak about that. They had on Rebel Wilson, the actress comedian, and she obviously has had significant weight loss. I don't know if she was on the medication. I don't think she specified if she was or she wasn't. But essentially, she talks about how people, like her managers, were telling, like she said that she wanted to lose weight because her doctor told her that she had to lose weight if she wanted to get pregnant. And so that was what motivated her, I guess. That's what she said, quote unquote, motivated her to start to take care of herself. These are her words, not mine, which it definitely seems like she wasn't prioritizing her mental or physical health in any way, shape, or form prior to this. And so I always find it very unfortunate when someone tells that story in that context. Like, why can't you just have like started to move your body and started to maybe eat more fruits and vegetables and just did that because it made you feel good, but not necessarily because you were trying to intentionally lose weight? So I'm not saying that like your weight should never change, but I'm just saying, like, why do we even have to talk about it, if that makes sense? So she talked about that. And then she even one point recognized that she developed a very, like, restrictive habits. She developed restrictive habits and her weight like got very low, where she said like it wasn't good or something like that. So, I mean, that makes sense to me when someone does intentionally lose weight through dieting and all of a sudden increasing their physical activity. It is realistic for me to expect that people, you know, get it kind of addicted to it, and you know, it becomes like you're never enough. So you have to just like keep going. And so she talked about like, you know, how all of a sudden now that she lost weight, actually a lot of opportunities opened up for her, which like she goes, I wasn't surprised, but something that made me really sad that she said, and I've heard this from a lot of other people, is that when they lost a lot of weight, that like people started to see them more, where she's like people were holding the door open for me, like going into the store. And I was just like, wow, like before no one ever did that. And now people actually saw me. And that part just made me really sad, because people suck. And it's just, it's sad that someone recognizes that. And then it just reaffirms that you feel more valued as a human being if you exist in a smaller size body, which is really upsetting. They had on Hunter McGrady, which I believe she is featured on Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover this month, which I saw her post about it. So go queen. She's amazing. She's a plus size model. I don't really remember specifically what she was talking about. They just had her on the side, so I don't really remember. And so there was another point where they had these activities, like they had a workbook that they like emailed to everyone, or people in the audience had like the physical copies, and they were exercises of like kind of like trying to value yourself outside of your weight, and like what would you do now if weight wasn't something that you worried about, or like where do you see yourself in 10 years or something like that. And so one of the questions, which I thought was very powerful, was like, to what extent do you think that your weight held you back in life? And a lot of people, and there was this one woman who was like, honestly, I can't even answer that because I don't even know like what could have been different because of like how she felt about herself. So she wasn't saying that it was necessarily like the world or other people that were holding her back. It was more of like how her perception of herself was what held her back. And I could kind of relate to that too, because I have been in a larger body my whole entire life. And it was, I don't ever remember a time in my life that it wasn't something I wasn't aware of. And it always makes me really sad when I think about it, because I don't think any human being should have to be so concerned about the size of their body and trying to shrink it and obsess over every single morsel that you put into your mouth. But especially children and teenagers, I don't think that that should ever be on their radar. And I know a lot of you probably could relate to this as well, but for me, it was honestly like the most defining part of my life for most of my whole entire life, up until I would say maybe I was like 26, 27. And it makes me really sad when I think about it, because like right now I'm rewatching Pretty Little Liars. It's a TV show, and it's obviously a highly problematic show, but the point that I'm making is that like throughout all these episodes, the characters are dealing with like teenage stuff and obviously like being blackmailed and other things that are not normal. But like every single day they don't wake up and like think, wow, like I just wish that I could be skinny. Like my life would be perfect. I would be so happy if I was. And I always like, in a way, maybe envy people who never had that experience, because I wonder how different I may have turned out as a human being if I didn't have that experience. And it's just always like so crazy when I think about it, because I'm like, wow, that's really shitty that I was taught to feel this way about myself. And I am definitely not the only one. This is obviously a very common thing, But it just makes me sad that, like, I remember, like, being 14 and, like, wearing these, like, skirts from Gap that, like, I think they were a size 14. I was a size 14 when I was 14. And, like, I remember feeling so poorly that it was, like, the largest size that Gap had. And, like, when I went out with my friends that weekend, like, that's all I can think about. Like, not being present with my friends and, like, having a good time. And it wasn't because they were saying anything about my body or anything like that. It was, this was all in my head. So, like, while I was experiencing life, it was always, like, my experience as a human being was always muted because the most forefront idea that I would always have in my brain was my weight, which is really crappy. Anyways, I went on a huge tangent, but I think that, you know, these types of conversations always bring up thoughts, and I'm always curious to hear about, like, how you guys feel and what thoughts this conversation might bring up for you. So you can always send me an email. My email is all.bodies.nutrition@gmail.com. As always, it's linked in the show notes, so you can just head there. If you have a question, a comment, an idea, or something that you want to share with me, I would love to hear from you. So another aspect of this live stream special that I think is important to mention is that they did have on a physician who specializes in obesity medication or obesity medicine, I'm sorry. And she, I believe, was affiliated with Yale University. And she's a researcher, and I believe she also actively sees patients. But from what I understand, she is not affiliated with Weight Watchers or any of the pharmaceutical companies that creates these weight loss medications. So I think that was one of the big red flags of the previous TV special, was that the two doctors that they had on were affiliated with the pharmaceutical companies. Which is obviously a conflict of interest. So I could see how they thought it would be good for optics to have on, like, a doctor that is just, like, a doctor. And on one hand, this physician acknowledged that your weight is not your fault. But at the same time, she also was saying that if you are someone who is considered obese, that it is a disease and it should be treated with this medication. And one of my issues with that is that I believe it was her who acknowledged that where we get the term of someone being obese is based off of BMI, body mass index. And we know that it's a flawed way of evaluating someone's health status, because it was the equation that is used was never intended to be used to evaluate someone's health. This equation, when it was created, was based off of self-reported data of white European men. And so I don't know in the, like, 1800s how many people had scales in their houses, and I don't think that they had measuring tapes back then. So I think that it even brings up this idea of this equation even more so, because as we know, if it's based off of these men self-reporting, how many men do you know, no offense, lie about their height? I saw a TikTok where this guy goes around a gym, and he, like, goes up to guys and he's like, oh, how tall are you? And they're like, I'm 6'3". And he's like, I have a measuring tape. Can I, like, measure you? And, like, sometimes they get mad. And other times they're like, yeah, sure. And then the guy's like, you're really 5'9". You're not 6'3". And the guy's like, no, that your thing's messed up. So I'm thinking that a lot of these men were not honest about their height. And I'm not sure how accurate their weight self-reported data was. Therefore, this even brings BMI even more into question, because it doesn't even sound like it's a reliable equation to begin with. And you know, we recognize that you cannot generalize data from white European men for all human beings in the world. It just doesn't work like that. So on one hand, we're acknowledging that the BMI is flawed, but then we're basing a whole ass diagnosis of quote unquote obesity based off of BMI, which doesn't make sense to me. And I just don't see how anyone who is a physician, who is well-educated, can sit here and argue this. And I think it is harmful for someone to say that obesity is a disease, because all individuals who may be considered obese based on the flawed BMI are not the same person. They have different lifestyle factors. They have different genetics. They have experienced or may not have experienced certain detriments, certain social detriments of health. So we cannot just say every single person who is quote unquote considered obese, quote unquote, has a disease, because that's just not true. We know that just as every single individual who has a quote unquote normal BMI is not free from disease. So I just think it's a little crazy to even be arguing this point, but I think it showed a flaw in the thinking of this physician and many physicians, and probably most physicians, from that standpoint. And so they had on a guest who, she was home, the girl was home from Zoom, and she was like, I am someone who has a BMI of whatever, I don't remember what it was. And she goes, but like, according to all metrics, like my blood pressure and my lab values, like I am a healthy person. So she goes, so you're telling me that there's something wrong with me? And so essentially the doctor was like kind of dancing around it and was saying, listen, like it is up to you whether or not you want to treat your diagnosis with medication. But she couldn't acknowledge the idea that there are individuals who exist in larger sized bodies who are free from disease. And I think it just goes to show you at how our society just really hates fat people and wants to use every single excuse there could ever be to tell fat people there's something wrong with you and you need to change your body ASAP. And that's not to say that all of us currently, as we exist in this very moment, will maintain the same health status 10 years from now. But it's just to say at this point in time, if you are free from disease, what's the problem? You know? So I thought that was very interesting. And I just think overall, it's a little confusing and it's a little bit conflicting. So me, myself, as a clinical dietitian who has her master's in clinical nutrition, is able to look at this conversation and this whole special, this live stream special objectively and break it down into these things. But if I wasn't me and I was just an average person in the United States sitting there watching this, I think it would send me a confusing message. Because on one hand, this whole special is really trying to destigmatize weight and bring on people who are saying, like, you should be able to live your life now in your current body without, like, saying, oh, like, oh, I have to wait until I lose this amount of weight or fit into this size to live my life. But then at the same time, we're saying, like, this medication is amazing and is going to, you know, change everything. And on top of that, the fact that it was sponsored by Weight Watchers, which again, the name in itself is Weight Watchers, I just don't really get it. And I think that in many ways, that point alone is more harmful than good, because it gives people this false understanding of the motives, right? Because at the end of the day, Weight Watchers is a company that makes money. and it wants more people to sign up and pay them. And now they have physicians that are working for them, and I am not sure how the pharmacy situation, if they have a pharmacy on hand that they use specially, you know, this is all about money. If it was just Oprah standing up there having these conversations, I would say, okay, you know what, this is a good thing. But it wasn't that. It was literally hosted by Weight Watchers. It had the logo on the side the whole time. So I think it just gives a little bit of a conflicting message. And at the end of the day, you know, they one other thing that I think is important to post to tell you guys is that they had a girl in the audience, they had a woman in the audience who basically, she, I guess, struggles with her body image, and she believes that she struggled with her weight her entire life, and that she started doing Weight Watchers not to lose weight, but just to, like, learn how to eat healthier. And that's what she was using it for. And when they had her, like, kind of as, like, a random side note type thing, I was like, wow. That seems like that was placed and staged. Now, I am not saying that I know 100% for sure. That woman, I believe, is her child is sick and she's going through a lot of personal things. And I, you know, I pray for her and her family. And she seems like a very nice person. But it's just confusing to me because I've never heard of someone saying, oh, I want to go on the Weight Watchers, the name literally Weight Watchers, to, like, learn how to eat healthier. And so it's just a bit of a red flag for me because it seems like it's trying to be like Noom, where like they're like, we're not a diet, we help you not diet anymore, but then you're still like trying to lose weight. And so I'm not sure how counting points is going to help you learn how to eat healthier. I'm not saying it can't be done and there isn't any way possible that it can be done. I just think, like, if you're going into this situation with already a disrupted or disordered relationship with food, movement, and or your body, for the long haul, I don't think that it's possible to use Weight Watchers to heal that relationship with food. And so I definitely feel like in a way it could have been maybe encouraged for her to say something like this. I don't know for sure. But again, at the end of the day, who is benefiting from this special? Oprah divested her shares from Weight Watchers. So Weight Watchers is hosting this thing. And it's trying to say, hey guys, see, we're not so bad. We're apologizing. And we're trying to do better. And I'm not saying that SEMA doesn't have good intentions. I just think that the whole of Weight Watchers and the whole organization in itself is problematic and harmful. And so trying to push themselves into this box of not being a diet or being anti-diet or saying, oh, you know, here we are, we see like, your weight isn't your fault, so here's this program and you can go on this medication. It makes it more palatable to people who are like on the fence of like, should I go on a diet to lose weight intentionally, or have I realized that in the past that never works for me in the long term and I don't want to do that again? I think it's going to push people to join their program and let their insurance companies bill for the patients and medications. So I hope you guys enjoyed my little breakdown of this live stream of Weight Watchers and Oprah. And, you know, I think it's really important to educate you guys and give you guys the tools and the knowledge to understand what's going on, how companies are trying to take advantage of us, and kind of just reframe things from authority figures that the average person who maybe isn't in this field would not necessarily know. And I think, you know, when you hear something coming from Oprah, when you hear something coming from a famous CEO or celebrity, or you hear something coming from a doctor, for many people, it's kind of like, oh, well, they know what they're talking about, so I have to listen to them. And I'm not saying that you should never listen to your doctor or any doctor. I'm just saying that you as a human being and as a patient have the right to understand what's going on and to advocate for yourself. And I never want anyone to be pushed into taking a medication that they don't feel comfortable taking, or any sort of intervention that you are not comfortable with, especially if it's not being well explained by your healthcare provider and they are kind of not listening to what you say and how you feel. All those things are very important and are really important in terms of patient care. And so I hope that this kind of gave you guys a little bit of a better understanding. And again, if you guys ever have any questions, please send me an email. It is linked in the show notes. And yeah, that is it for this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this episode or any of the other episodes of my podcast, please consider giving me a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really, really helps me and my small business grow and allows more people to see this podcast. So thank you guys so much, and I will see you guys for next week's episode.